I think Ziggy, can we adjust the mics? Yes, yeah. Just speak again so I know you're okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yep, okay. Yeah, Dr. Morris Dodonu. Yeah. Yes. Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you once again.
Right, Dodonu is different from Kitchener, but there was a Dr. Kitch administering his needle. But this whole business of administering enemas, okay, I guess, like I said, 3,500 years old, well known in our parts of the world, but I want us to uncover the science behind it.
Okay.
Okay. So are we using the right terms? I know the syringe is the bulb syringe, okay?
Yeah.
We call it the bentoa.
Yes.
Okay. And we use it to administer fluids from down below, the rectum.
Through the anus.
The anus. Yes. Okay. Right. Is it which is which? Let's get correct here. We say anus, some say rectum.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the last 4 centimeters of the opening,
okay,
where the fecal matter eventually comes out of your body, is the anus. The last 4 centimeters.
The last 4 centimeters. Loving this.
And then before that, we'll say proximal to that, is about 15 to 20 centimeters.
Okay.
Which is the rectum.
All right.
And beyond that is the rest of the colon.
The colon.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. So we're getting politically and anatomically correct here. That is why I have a qualified physician, surgeon as well, in the studio. So when you say anus, some of you say anus.
Yes.
Right? The last 4 centimeters of the opening.
Of the opening.
Okay.
In fact, the end of it is called the verge, anal verge.
Anal verge. Okay.
Just the relatively darker portion from the skin to the opening.
Okay.
Is the verge.
Okay.
And then inside, the first 4 centimeters is actually the anus.
The anus.
Yeah.
Then beyond that, we're still going in.
We are going in.
Right.
And that's the, some books will say 12.5 to about 17 centimeters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
That is the rectum.
Rectum.
Rectum, yes.
Okay. You are hearing this on Ultimate Health, Joy 99.7 FM. We didn't come to play.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Okay. And then that continues into the colon.
The colon, yes.
Okay, we know we have a large intestine and a small intestine.
Yes.
What exactly is the colon?
Yes, so the colon is the large intestine.
The large intestine.
If I could be, there are various parts of it.
Okay, right, share.
The first portion.
We want your qualifications without being fellows in training.
Yes.
Right? So you share the details so that my listeners know where we are going. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So generally, it's about 150 centimeters. It's not a very small tube.
Okay.
It extends from a place we call the cecum.
Okay.
There's like a cul-de-sac.
Okay.
Beyond the small intestines. It's actually attached to the small intestines.
Okay.
From the first part, portion that is attached to the small intestines. It's called the cecum. And from there, we go to what we call the ascending colon.
Okay.
Then the transverse colon.
Okay.
They are in that same position as they are being named.
Okay.
So the transverse colon and then the descending colon.
The one coming down.
The one coming down.
Where we're talking about.
Yes, where we'll be talking about.
Right, okay.
And then from there we have the sigmoid colon.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So it's not just the descending, but there's a portion of it
so
that's,
so it is coiled, it's moving in certain ways, and it's laid down in certain ways.
It's in certain ways.
So you are referring to parts of it, the parts that are descending, the parts that are
the transverse, the part that's descending.
Great.
And then before it gets to the rectum, there's a sigmoid part.
Okay.
It's generally about 25 centimeters, but some have it very long. There are a few diseases that can happen around there because of its special nature.
Okay.
Then from there, it's attached to the rectum.
Okay.
Yes.
May I ask, teacher, so where is the stomach in all this? Where is it?
Oh. Well, the stomach is far before that.
Far before that.
Yes.
I want my listeners to understand and get a graphic view.
Well, so very quickly, just so that we are on the same page.
You're welcome.
When you eat anything, you work with your mouth.
Yep.
The content, you swallow it through the pharynx into the esophagus.
Esophagus.
So the esophagus then continues as the stomach. Mm-hmm. So the stomach, the esophagus, about 40 cm. Right. From the mouth to the end of the esophagus is about 40 centimeters. And then it ends into the stomach. Opens into the stomach.
Okay. And let me ask a foolish question. Stomach and abdomen are different, aren't they?
Very, very different.
All right. Tell my listeners. That's
so
why
the abdomen
here.
Is what you see from outside.
Okay.
From your nipple line,
okay,
down to your groin,
okay,
is called your abdomen. Yes,
okay.
The stomach is just that small pouch,
it's
relatively
that pouch.
It's not very small, right? but it's the small pouch that connects the esophagus,
okay,
to the small intestine.
Okay,
yes,
right.
It's relatively more dilated.
Okay,
it can expand to about even 2 to 3 liters of content.
Okay, folks, if you join us, 19 minutes past the hour of 2 on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Norte by Nature. The other names you are hearing are parts of your digestive system, but the guest with me is Dr. Maurice Dodonu, senior resident and specialist, fellow in training. And a lecturer, a part-time lecturer with the University of Ghana Medical School Department of Surgery. And then he's also with the College of Physicians, both Ghana, West Africa. He does many, many things, but where we've gone down in there is his business. That's why we're looking at the medical science behind the bulb enema, or the administration of enema. Many of you know Bentua. We're going to go in there, but we wanted to understand the anatomy, the structures in there. That's why we went that way. Okay. So, essentially, we are administering fluid or something. Fluid. Into the anus, into the rectum, and so on and so forth, using a tool, which is the bulb syringe.
The Bentua. Yes.
So, that's the instrument.
The instrument that administers the content. So the bulb syringe is just the apparatus that you have.
Right.
But the content of that is what we usually prepare ourselves.
All right.
It's something you can dismantle easily.
Okay,
The bulb and then the syringe.
The nozzle,
You can easily just take them apart.
Okay.
So that you can put whatever content you want to administer to your patient or the person you want to administer to through.
Is it right to call that substance, whatever you put into the bulb to administer, right? Is it right to call that itself the enema?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
There are standard preparations that are on the market, which comes that way.
Okay.
The phosphate enemas and normal saline enemas, they come prepared.
Okay.
So when you want to buy that, it comes as a full package.
That is over the counter.
Over the counter.
You can buy what you need to administer?
Not necessarily so.
All right. There are some kits.
The phosphate enema, for example, is a prescription
only one.
But there's one that has normal saline, normal saline.
Over the counter, you can purchase that.
Can be purchased.
And that leads to a certain understanding that it can be self-administered.
Yes, it can be self-administered.
We'll get there. Okay.
It can be self-administered.
Right. Okay.
And most of what we are exposed to is what, especially when we were children, what our mothers actually administered to us.
Yes.
You know, and
the Abasa company.
And you know the size of the enema really is not particularly dependent on the size of the patient.
Okay.
Most of it are just the standard one we all have.
Right.
And you realize that the pressure that bulb wields can actually be detrimental to the child depending on the pressure with
so
which
we are
you
using one size fits all
more or less
and squeezing it with no standardized
pressure. So that was what makes it a bit dangerous, actually. But if you recognize that, especially if you are going to, if you have various, if there's a smaller size meant for children, and you recognize that and you are being taught how to do it properly, you are not likely to cause any harm.
Okay.
Later, as we discuss, we'll mention some of the problems associated.
Okay.
But it's actually a very well-relieving procedure.
Okay.
We have a few of our elderly clients who come with constipation.
Right.
Not necessarily associated with any particular disease, but just hard stool.
Right.
And moving that hard stool through the colon can be particularly daunting.
Okay.
So a way to help them is just to administer normal saline.
Okay.
Just to soften the stool, you know, with a, with water just entering into and softening it.
Okay.
And then just the body finding its way of delivering it by itself.
Okay. If you just joined us, 24 minutes past the hour of 2 on Joy 99.7 FM. And the program is Ultimate Health.
99.7 FM.
Your ultimate guide to healthy living with me, Norte by Nature. I'm in the studio with Dr. Maurice, I almost said Maurice Bentua. Maurice Dodonu. He's a senior resident with the Kolobu Teaching Hospital, Department of Surgery. And we're looking into the medical science behind the administration of enemas, using the Bentua to administer fluids into the anus, and then to the rectum and into the colon. Okay, I see somebody has already asked, what is colon cleansing? We'll ask. He's tiptoed a bit into the purpose. He's mentioned constipation, right? We want to understand the preparation, the purpose, the process. Okay, how do you know how much pressure you are giving and whether it is safe and so on and so forth? That's why we're dissecting this whole issue. If you have any questions, concerns, experiences, testimonies, WhatsApp is 055-1111-997. Shortly, I will activate the phone lines, but we are live on Facebook, YouTube, and X. This is Ultimate Health on Joy 99.7 FM.
Joy 99.7 FM.
So we are introducing this fluid into the digestive system. Now, we are administering, entering at a point which, properly put, is an exit. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Doesn't it have valves and anything to prevent things moving the wrong way?
Okay.
And therefore, are we fighting the system and doing something wrong? Okay. I know there are medications that are administered through that route, and there are suppositories and many other things.
Yes.
But essentially, that is an exit.
Yes. There are some valves in the rectum.
Okay.
Valves of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
They don't occlude the lumen completely.
Okay.
They extend themselves in opposite directions. So one is above the other. There are three valves, actually.
Right.
They don't completely...
So it's not blocked.
It's not blocked.
Right.
The rectum, by God's grace, is very adaptable. It's made of smooth muscle.
Okay.
So it can expand.
Okay.
Okay. The volume may be discussed at another level, but it's able to accommodate quite enough. And indeed, it's the rectal expansion that gives you the edge to want to defecate.
Okay.
So if the rectum becomes full enough with fecal matter and it expands, that's when you feel the edge.
That should trigger the edge to void.
To void, yes.
Okay.
That's what happens.
To go.
So we are taking advantage of that feeling, the stretch.
Right.
So when you administer an enema, you increase the volume there precipitously.
So you are causing it to stretch.
To stretch.
And so that in itself...
That in itself will trigger your ability to pass through. Yes.
Okay.
If you are, so if you are constipated, that is an amazing way of helping you
just
to...
Just mechanically by increasing the volume...
The volume.
You are triggering that process.
The reflex, yes.
Okay,
the colic reflex.
Okay, so we're understanding... There's science in this.
Yes, there is.
Right,
there
it's
is.
Not just we are forcing things
no,
to happen.
No,
there's science
there is.
In this.
Yes, there
this
is science.
This is the basis of the reflex itself.
The reflex.
And we are harnessing that to achieve something.
To achieve something.
Great stuff.
Now, another thing that's very important. Sure. There are some chemicals on the market. Some called Senacort. I don't know if you've heard it. Sena.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one called Bisacord, which we usually use in a prescription form to administer what we call an irritant laxative. So, for example, that may not deal with the volume per se.
Okay.
But these chemicals react with what we call the enteric nerves.
Okay.
The nerves that line up the colon to allow the colon to move periodically.
Okay.
It irritates it and induces...
So when we're talking about bowel movements,
yes,
there are movements that are supposed to happen.
Yes.
And you're saying that now chemically or pharmacologically, we can cause this to happen by triggering the nerve.
The nerves, yes.
Okay. The first one was mechanical.
Mechanical.
By sheer volume, of what we have administered or introduced. Then there's the chemical
one. A chemical
one. Doc, I want to ask you, on behalf of my listeners, so you use the word laxative.
Yes, laxative.
Okay, laxative.
Yes.
What is a laxative?
Yeah, so a laxative is a kind of chemical that induces the colon to allow content to move.
Okay.
Literally, you could say it relaxes the colon at certain parts and then contract at other parts to enable movement.
Okay.
So it's a way of sort of introducing the motility, something like forcing the motility of the large bowel.
Okay, listeners, I will be checking this comprehension and understanding, okay? Because this is what you're doing when you administer these things, okay? I know some mothers and some use it as a form of punishment, brah. When they call you like that, you know it's going to happen. It's going down, literally and essentially. But yes, there's a process behind it. There's a science behind it we want to understand. Yeah. We also want to understand when it is going wrong or likely to go wrong, okay? So that's why I have Doc Dodonu in the studio with me, okay? Shortly, I will activate the phone lines. WhatsApp is 055-1111-997. We're live on Facebook and YouTube. This is Ultimate Health, the Bentua version, on the 1st of February with me, Norte by Nature.
Sure. 99.7 FM.
Okay, so the laxative is also trying to facilitate or trigger the muscles to relax and contract as designed.
As designed, yes.
Okay.
So we have various types of laxatives.
Right.
The osmotic laxatives, which we haven't mentioned yet.
Right.
There's the chemical laxative, which I've just
touched on.
And... just the volume type, the volume, like, so something to introduce there to expand.
Okay.
So with the other one, with what I mentioned earlier, the osmotic laxatives. There are certain chemicals that we introduce into the colon to allow water to be drawn into the colon.
Oh, here comes my secondary school biology.
Yes.
Right. Osmosis.
Yeah. Osmosis. Right. Yes. So you allow water to be drawn into the colon from your own body.
Okay.
So, in fact, you are advised to have drank enough water prior to doing this.
Okay.
So that once that water is drawn into the colon, it now creates bulk.
Okay.
And then allows content to move.
Okay.
It's important for us to recognize that the function of the large bowel itself, really, helps also to absorb water.
Right.
So by its nature, the content of the colon can get very dry.
Right.
You know, so that's why you advise to drink a lot of water.
Okay.
So, because really, if you are dehydrated, the colon also helps to improve your volume.
Okay.
Your intravascular volume by absorbing all the water. And it can do that very, very effectively.
God is so much wonderful,
that,
eh?
Yeah, so much that by the time it gets to the rectum, it's as hard as stone, actually.
Whoa.
Yes. So you're advised to drink a lot of water. And, I mean, from the experiences that we've had, unfortunately, because of the work we do, we tend to really put our hands, not our raw hands, but gloved hands under the rectum to identify various things.
Very
look for tumors, look for irritation of the abdomen and things like that. And by that experience, you realize that there are some stools that are so hard, you cannot even indent your finger through them.
Okay.
And those ones are, you know, when you have... somebody with severe constipation, impacted feces. Mm-hmm. So you can have the elderly come with impacted feces, and then we would have to administer enema to soften it. There are times when we actually manually evacuate.
You must actually clear that gutter.
Yes, before it's anything stuck. Else, it's stuck.
And that is a surgical procedure.
It is.
You're clearing feces.
You
right?
Yes.
That, so that essentially is a medical emergency.
Well, yes, you can have a situation.
If your stool is so impacted, it's not coming out.
It is a medical emergency.
It's a medical emergency. Yeah.
And they come.
Wow.
You know, so the little thing I also sometimes want to add to this is that should you see the need to use enemas frequently, I think the best is to just visit a hospital.
Yeah. If so, you are doing it on the basis of a lay person's indication.
Yes.
Right? But some people do this routinely. In fact, there are days they line the children up and, yeah, right?
But that's not really advisable, actually.
Yeah, but the thing is there, and they put you over the knees, right? On their laps. And zap! Okay?
And the sad
and
thing
this
is...
this can be done in multiples, and you are waiting in queue.
In queue.
I've also heard narratives where public toilets, or call them latrines, they have them there. They are supposedly... cleaned and sterilized or whatever with Dettol and so on and so forth, different sizes. And you can also purge, so to say, or so to speak, in that way. What do you say to this frequent administration of enemas, despite the, of course, the indications that you've indicated as a professional and a physician, it looks like this is being done routinely.
So, for
if does the system, the digestive system, as you know it anatomically and everything, does it require this?
No, it doesn't.
It does not.
It does not.
Okay.
I mean, the body naturally has its way of ridding itself of all its content.
Okay.
In fact, as children, we inherited a kind of reflex called the gastrocolic reflex.
Okay.
So that once a baby is fed, they go to toilet almost immediately.
Okay.
We inherited that, and we can actually take advantage of that.
Okay.
As adults, anytime you have the urge to defecate, you can actually drink water.
Okay.
And then you have your bowel movement rather easily.
Right.
Now, for those who have these bulbs in public latrines, I think this is quite distasteful, really.
Right. Okay.
I think it's something that you want to personalize.
Okay.
Buy your own.
Have your own.
And then have your own and use it at home. And nobody else should touch that.
Doc,
it's an invasive procedure.
Right.
You can even traumatize the mucosa as you pass it through.
Right.
Not like a big trauma,
right,
but something quite little. And that can introduce your body fluids onto it. How do you share that?
Okay.
I mean, you may want to talk about washing it and cleaning it, but how perfect is that activity?
It's definitely a no-no.
The issue about children having it done, well... I'm sure I'm a beneficiary of the mentor.
I like the word you use, not a victim.
Not a victim, but a beneficiary. But I'm not going to fight that because majority of our mothers and our fathers are accustomed to it and they've grown with that.
Right.
But I have never done that for my kids anyway.
Okay.
And I usually will not profoundly recommend it for the general public.
Okay.
The another concern about that is that children, if it's going to be used as punishment, a child per se may not be happy to have it done.
So
you'll be fighting.
You'll be fighting.
And you may traumatize the rectum. In fact,
like
I just spoke to one of my consultants, Dr. Etri, who actually mentioned to me that they've had patients who have presented to their clinic, children, pediatric ward, who have had perforations to the rectum, and it was missed.
Okay.
And by that, fecal matter tracked down into the body,
right,
resulting in abscesses. There have been times when they've even had to divert the colon. So that to allow the child to heal before they return it back.
Whoa.
I mean, so I think that...
So this is not child's play at all.
It's not, it's not. People have suffered from inner warts.
Right.
Because of shared instrumentation.
Instruments down there.
You know, so you use it for one person, another person also. So human papilloma virus is being shared, you know, by that
route.
Just because of that.
Wow.
So if you want to use it, buy your own, get your own.
All right.
And use it and clean it the way you deem fit, of course, using all kinds of disinfectants.
Right, great stuff. Doc, I must get into the actual preparation, you know. Do I just, you know, it's Saturday or it's Sunday, 2 o'clock, bam, you know, administer, or in the morning and so on and so on. Let's talk a bit about the preparation. okay? And some of the stuff that people are using that you, the physician specialist and the physicians generally, are aware of, that people are administering.
Yeah.
And then the purposes for which they're administering these things, okay? We've talked about, the, of course, the pointed end of it, the nozzle.
The nozzle.
Then there's a bulb.
The bulb,
okay?
Yeah.
So we know, obviously, you squeeze.
You squeeze.
Right? So it's a syringe of sorts. But let's go a bit into the procedure.
All right.
Okay?
Yes.
I mentioned being laid across an adult's laps, and then this thing being introduced. Mm. You've mentioned the anatomical distinctions between 4 inches of the entrance and then further on, and so how deep is this thing supposed to go?
Okay.
All right, and again, where you have resistance, especially with children, can we talk about the process itself?
Yes. So,
and just before you do that, Doc, folks, I'm having constipation on my WhatsApp. I can see that. I'm going to make time to read a lot of your questions in bulk. So that we evacuate the WhatsApp colon, right? So that Doc can answer them. So I see them, I can see them, right? And let me also quickly say, I have a list of you guys who are due Healthy Secrets by Prof. Alex Dodu, okay? You will receive your calls. I have listed you. You will be called. So let's not get that. I still have a couple more to give out, okay? So yes, Doc, the process.
Yes. So after having obtained your instruments, the bulb, the syringe.
Okay.
I mean, they are usually together. So if you separated them and you decided to water.
So you're talking about self-administration here.
Self-administration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ordinary water.
Your collar is, it's fighting with the microphone. So
okay.
Yeah, it's creating a scratching. So,
sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So ordinary water, it's warm water.
Warm water.
Warm water, not hot water.
Okay.
Warm, just ordinary lukewarm water can be used.
Okay.
Just a bit of salt to taste.
Okay.
You know, just to create the same semblance of normal saline.
Okay.
The saline that is produced physiologically for use in the hospital.
Okay.
Because the cells there are actually cells that, you know, undergo some form of interaction with the environment, it finds itself. So you
when
want
you
to
say
create
saline,
that.
Saline, Doc, for the benefit of my listeners,
salt.
Some of us, it's a salt mixture.
Yeah, salt mixture.
Right? Salt water.
Salt water.
Saline.
Saline.
Salinity.
Salinity.
Okay, so when you say normal saline, is a certain strength?
Yes, 0.9%.
Okay, but you're saying at home, domestically,
yes,
the layperson can...
Yes,
use
just
salt.
Ordinary salt.
Okay.
Salt to taste.
Right.
The iodated salt is not advisable.
Okay.
Because of the iodine in it.
Okay.
Uh huh. But just ordinary rock salt that we are familiar with.
Okay, listeners, you see, we are not joking. We want to really go behind the medical science. Okay. So you're mixing salt. When you say to taste, it's not harsh on your tongue.
No, not harsh on your tongue.
So you can taste the salt.
You can taste
in
the
water.
In the water,
okay.
Just like ORS.
Okay, thank you.
The typical ORS taste.
Good.
You know.
Okay.
And you lie down. You don't sit for this.
Okay.
You actually lie face down.
Okay.
And then if you get somebody to administer for you, fine. But you can actually self-administer it yourself.
All right.
Now, the length, I mentioned about the anus being about 4 centimeters.
4 centimeters.
The average length of the bentoive, as I measured, was actually about six centimeters.
Okay.
Now, that is not likely to harm you in any way.
Okay.
Because the rectum is an open space, very open, even no matter the age of the person.
I am relieved with this assurance.
Oh, yes, okay. Yes, yes.
So you're not pushing it against resistance?
No, at all.
Okay.
At all. There may be, the rectum is not an open space. It's usually sort of closed.
A bit.
So whilst you administer it, gentle application, insertion, it would give way and open itself nicely too.
Okay, folks, I like the word gentle, right? Okay, I know I'm going to activate the phone line shortly. Gentle pressure to insert or introduce
the contents.
Okay.
Now, you are not stimulating the rectum immediately.
Okay.
That's not your plan.
Okay.
But you want to introduce volume.
Volume.
Yes. Right. You want to introduce volume. So the pressure shouldn't be so much amazing. Just gentle pressure to deliver all its content.
Okay.
Could be maybe 10 to about 15 mils. milliliters of water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doc, I'm going to relieve some constipation by announcing the phone line, 030-221-6541. 030-221-6541. Ultimate Health on Joy 99.7 FM. WhatsApp is 055-1111-997. And you can get in, speak to Doc yourself, and administer. You know, you can even, ask him to lie down if you want, okay? But yeah, we'll be opening the phone line, 030-221-6541. We're talking about the medical science behind the administration of enemas using the Bentwa. Okay, I know there's the colonic irrigation. He'll get to talk about that, hopefully, right? Yes. So, Doc, okay.
Yes. So, what I usually recommend is the one that is sold, okay. The sold one, and that has a bit of phosphate in it, like okay. A form of a soup.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That also sort of allows the body to absorb water from its surroundings,
okay.
To also increase the volume. It's usually, I think, around 250 mils
okay.
to about 300 mils
right.
in its content.
All right.
So that, and that is also designed like your typical bento, but I think it's almost like a bottle.
All right.
It's not the bulb that you see, right. But it's a bottle.
So the one with phosphate and all that is still over the counter, or is it prescription?
That requires prescription.
It
in fact,
requires prescription.
I only get it when I write it for okay. my patients to buy. Yes.
Okay. So the over-the-counter will typically be saline?
Yes. No, that would have phosphate.
Enema.
Usually, we want to induce, in addition to the saline,
all right.
We want to induce some osmotic effect
okay.
as well.
Right. Uh-huh. So you're harnessing the osmosis, and you're also harnessing the mechanical volume.
The volume.
Okay,
and then
great.
The
okay. Right. So you're doing this and you are squeezing gently?
Yes, we squeeze gently.
Right.
And we wait. I mean, it's not something to happen almost immediately. In fact, some we would even recommend that you do it overnight. You know, you administer it in the maybe wee hours of the evening, maybe
okay.
9, 10, when you are about to go to bed. Of course, we don't want you to soil your bed
okay.
at the time.
Doc, let me pause to ask this question. You mentioned constipation as one of the indications for which you
yes.
might want to do this.
Yes.
So when I'm introducing, albeit gentle pressure, fluid into the system, when it meets this impacted feces, is it still going to go in as I want it to, right, and be retained for a period before the reactions are triggered, so to speak. What if I'm pushed and it's not going?
Okay, so the constipation, there's a tube.
All right.
And I've told you how the capacity of the rectum.
Okay.
It's rather large.
Okay, so it will still stretch.
So it will still stretch.
Okay.
The point is, if you have very impacted stool in the rectum and you are pushing your nozzle and it's not going, don't force it.
Okay, right, let me read a couple of messages. Wow, I can't believe this. You guys wanted this, didn't you? You guys wanted this Bentwa session. Okay, the day in Maryland, you say waiting. Afio. Okay, right. Aside from drinking water, I know eating a lot of fiber also helps in free bowel movement. Hello, this is from the day in Maryland. We'll get Doc's response. Good afternoon, Norte by Nature. Happy New Year. Great topic. I work in one institution where I sometimes have to gather information on one's health. I solicited such data from a couple who are on our books. They said they had not been to hospital in years and couldn't tell the last time they even went for a checkup on any health condition. I want to know whether the enema is that good to prevent people from needing to visit hospital. Zet in Akwitiman asked that. Doc, hold on to that one. This one also says, my name is Daniel in Accra. What is he saying, Daniel? What are you saying? Good afternoon, Norte. Please, I had a serious abdominal pain. I went to the hospital, but it didn't work. I visited a colon cleansing clinic and they administered hydrotherapy for me through my anus. Lots of stuff came out through my anus and the pain vanished. This is Daniel, right? Kind of a testimony. He doesn't say what they did in hospital, which didn't work.
Well, he actually mentioned it. Said they gave him some stuff.
No.
Hydrotherapy.
No, the hydrotherapy is the colon cleansing clinic.
Okay.
right? Many of them are not established, or it's not like it's a hospital, okay, but it's a service they provide. All so right. In the hospital, whatever, he went for abdominal pain, and that's something we'll be looking on and talking about with Doc downstream. Okay, so we can talk about Daniels in a bit. Let me read another one. My question is to the doctor is first, where is it now? This is a whole, what? Where are you? Gosh, you've written so much. What do you want me to do with all this? Okay, but there's a lot. But the question is first, how many times can we use a laxative? Also, what type of laxatives are medically recommended? And finally, is there any type of sickness that can prevent one from taking laxatives? Finally, if an ulcer patient can take laxatives. Prosper and Dakuman, you're on my list for the book, eh? Prosper, but you've written like, this is like an essay. Okay. Bless and I brought this matter for you discussion. Reminds me of those days when mothers would fill the Bob syringe with a very terribly ugly looking dark liquid called Okumada pump. Okumada, right? And pump it into a baby through the anus and then hold the baby by the legs upwards and shake the child for minutes before putting them on the chamber pot to release all kinds of ugly substances. Hey, naughty by nature. Self-medication didn't start today. All right, so Prosper, you're becoming prolific. Okay, let me just put it that way. Laxative, is it oral suppository? Hang on. Or that is administered or both? Okay, Doc, can we respond to some of these things? Did they ask about fiber to also induce bowel movements?
Sure. You know, our food in Ghana, for digestion and heart health. Types of fiber, soluble, dissolves in water to form. I think your AI heard
my
you.
My AI is hearing me and talking. My phone is nearby. Gosh, tell the AI I went to school. Yes, sir.
So the food generally in Ghana,
mm-hmm,
are full of fiber.
Okay.
You know, the corn we eat, the fufu, the plantain, they are all fiber containing that. So sometimes I actually find, you know, there's a disease of the colon called diverticular disease, diverticulosis. Okay. We can talk about another time.
Right.
And really the treatment, as we discuss with our patients, is to have a change in their diet.
Okay.
But even if you do that, you wonder what kind of diet you recommend for such a person. Because if you look at our diets in the yam with palava sauce, and most of our diets are high fiber.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they may want us to introduce the Caucasian fiber, the cabbages, the which is something that is particularly we are used to.
Right.
We are not particularly used to, but our foods are usually filling enough. The garis, the bulking. We are looking at bulk.
Okay.
Because, like, as I mentioned to you, if bulk enters the rectum, it irritates the rectum enough to give you the edge.
To give you the edge to
and
go.
And that helps you with defecation.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So, yes, what she's suggesting is very important.
Okay.
High fiber diet helps with because your body does not effectively digest cellulose.
All right.
And it stays within the colon. So as it goes down, it draws water onto itself to create the bulk to enable you to defecate.
Okay.
Yeah, so the high fiber diet is actually a
Daniel
good
Daniel suggests that he went to hospital, it didn't help, then he went for this colonic irrigation or cleansing, as some call it, and
he felt some
his pain went away.
Yes, so the assessment of the doctor who saw him might have suggested that he didn't have any pathology that was particularly bothersome.
No illness was causing.
No serious illness that was... So maybe he might have given him some pain relief or something, which he would take for a few days and will not get any good relief.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So it depends on the diagnosis. We work with diagnosis. Mm-hmm. If I don't make a diagnosis of constipation, or if the story that comes to me does not suggest that, then it will be difficult for me to offer you any particular service.
Okay.
Now, I want to suggest that we work with information.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put it on record that emptying your colon in itself can give you tremendous relief in various ways.
Okay.
It may not just with constipation, but even the general sense of well-being.
Okay.
You know, so it might inadvertently be associated with other diseases.
Right.
So that if you had a fever,
right,
and you went, you were able to go to toilet easily and you got some relief, you can be under the illusion that that relief has solved your medical problem.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Another thing is about the frequency of use. If you find that you are using laxative too frequently to solve any problem for that matter, I think it's best to visit a hospital.
Okay.
So that you get a story. I must say that my colleagues don't spend too much time discussing patient problems with them.
Okay.
But I believe that with now, I think our numbers are increasing. And so our doctors, as they should spend a little more time.
Okay.
Something as easily as, oh, I went to toilet, I've been going to toilet every day, but for the past 3 days I haven't gone, is actually quite significant.
Right.
You know, and that may happen or that may come up after quite a lengthy conversation.
Okay.
Maybe you are expecting the person to have a cough, a cold, it's not there. Abdominal pain, you should go a bit deeper into the concerns.
Okay.
So that at least we can find a solution to those problems.
Okay. Yes. Sometimes you use this process through, for example, when you're using going to do imaging, you administer barium.
Yes.
Right.
It's not a very common thing we do these days.
Okay.
Because of the advent of colonoscopy.
Yeah.
I must talk a bit about this process.
Okay.
Colonoscopy is a way by which physicians actually look into your colon. Visually look inside the colon with a fiber optic tube, a fiber optic probe. It gives us pictures of your colon. There's light at the tip that is able to make us see real time the various parts of the colon as we discussed.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So because of that, the enema was a... The barium enema was giving us a perceived distortion in the mucosa, in the inner lining of the gut.
Right.
But now that we can see it directly,
you don't need that color differentiation.
No, we don't need the barium as much. Unless, of course, you have a condition that makes the colonoscopy contraindicated.
Uncomfortable.
That you are, maybe you are sort of obstructed in a way, even that you may not be able to use the enema much, you know. But yes, that's the thing. We don't use the barium so much, but occasionally we resort to it depending on the situation.
Yep. Okay, great stuff. Look, Doc, this is not just plumbing.
No.
Right. There's a lot in this.
A lot.
And a lot that can go wrong.
Yes.
Okay. So you did mention that you can do this and the triggered action that we're looking for, right?
Mm.
The contractions that push the fecal matter out may be delayed and may take some time.
Mm.
If you've done it the right way, how long before you should, how long should you wait to see some results?
Oh, maybe about an hour or two.
Okay.
Will be a stretch.
Right.
It's okay. I mean, we are talking about the bulk. So depending on the mechanism involved, if you are using the osmotic one, you expect quite a bit of a process.
Okay.
In fact, some people who... to answer one of the questions, you can actually administer laxatives by mouth and directly from the anus. So you can use the bisacodyl, for example, is something you can administer by mouth and still have preparations that are given suppository.
Okay.
Lactulose, mostly we give it by mouth. There's a one called peg leg. That's also given by mouth.
Okay.
You know, so there are others you can give by mouth. They don't work very effectively in the upper GI.
Okay.
As in the stomach, the small intestine. Right. But worked very effectively as it gets to the colon.
Right.
So it makes it very useful.
Okay. Is Miss Senko also good for constipation? Jijo in Dodua?
Yes, Miss Senko, yes.
Right.
But it's seldom abused because of its effect. Like I said, it gives you so much relief from all kinds of conditions.
So people overuse it.
Some overuse it.
Right.
One of the big,
is not good.
It's not good. It's not good.
Right.
If you realize that you are using these things so often, you must seek medical attention.
Okie dokie. Wow, I still have some. waiting in queue, Park Kwame, hey, Note, waiting in queue. Yes, waiting, please, please.
The whole family, yes.
Yeah. You think people were joking? Try compound house and see. You trust. Some people call it Christian training. Good afternoon, Dua. I like that. I like the sound of that. What is this person saying? I want to thank the doctor for the education. I think we learned a lot from it. From Lawrence Dodonu inside Jose.
Yeah, that's my cousin.
Your cousin. Oh, you are a biased listener. I will allow him to administer Bentua on you and see how biased you are after that. Thanks for sharing your comments. This one says, what is colon cleansing? Do you want to add more to that?
Well, colon cleanses itself.
Right.
The activity of administering laxative to allow content to pass is a kind of instant relief measure, really.
Okay. All right.
And of course, we use that to cleanse the colon to, in the context of a medical perspective, we use that to empty the bowel when we want to do the colonoscopy, right, as we discussed.
Okay.
And then there are scientific, there is also its use when we want to perform certain big surgeries on you.
Okay.
So that we don't want the fecal matter in the colon to contaminate our surgical field. So we want to empty the colon. That's a whole new discussion.
It's a whole discussion.
But I'll just say this just so that we know that we use it medically for...
Okay. All right, guys, I have been totally, utterly, not that I haven't done this before, but in many ways, we've learned many new things. We're out of time. We have cleansed some part of it. We haven't talked about complications and many other things.
Yeah.
And Doc is keen on other, let me call them abdominal issues and things in there. Which are not just stomach, right? Nana Kwesi says, the Bentua series on Ultimate Health. I am locked in. Is it healthy to wash the anus with soap? If no, what do you recommend? What could be the cause of constant burning sensation around the anus? We
can take that. I think constant burning sensation, he has to come and see us.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are certain conditions that can irritate the anus. So that we just have to look at it. He should just come. Let's have a look at it.
Okay.
But yes, it's okay to wash your anus with, the inner veg.
Right.
Yes, not to push things in.
Okay.
But because the anus has an amazing way of cleansing itself.
Mm.
You know, there are crypts that actually create secretions that clean the place periodically.
Doc, you're such a nice man. I'm just wondering, you going down there and clearing people?
Oh, we have to solve the problems, you know.